And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day. God did this. Ooh, God did this. Plus, it's not baby formula, but we will look at something called great formula. The professor of retirement, our own Marty Schneider, joins us live in today's Facebook post, Temple Then, Temple Now.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Kapow! I like that, prevailing. You like that, kapow? You know, instead of kung pow, it's kapow! Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866. K-Praise. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's justified radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
It's the Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
I've had my fair share of bruises and injuries, but for many who put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane has created a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving animals. For help, please go to AmericanHumane.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Been a pretty interesting show so far. We had Scott Wilder join us last hour, doing a great job. We encourage you, if you are interested in helping out, for $60 that can take a child from the severe acute malnutrition place into recovery, all you have to do is go to kprz.com. Invest, You're thinking, well, how much do you make off this? Zero. Invest, and you will find that that investment is bred, put out upon the waters in a fantastic way. We'll be dealing with that next week at length. I have a DDD that is going to ruffle feathers, as some of them are intended to challenge us. Not every DDD, devotional dime to the day, is put together so that you and I can walk out with extra lollipops and big suckers and have rainbows in the back and, you know, going down some golden street singing we're off to see the wizard kind of mentality, if you catch what I'm saying. I know you do. That's not the point. And what I want you to catch is that there are some things that happen in life, and we don't discuss this at great length, because I'll tell you why, and I wish Chris Gordon was here from Abounding Grace. He's going to be joining me. He's going to co-host with me in the next, like, month and a half. We're going to do some cross-promotion material. I'm really looking forward to it. And this would be a perfect area for a pastor like himself to be able to say, look, in these kind of things, when you're teaching on the pulpit, you've got to have, you know, you got to be communicating in such a way as to affect a change that is progressive, more along the lines of line upon line, precept upon precept, more along the lines of expository type of approach. But when you're on the Christian radio and the Lord's just put stuff on your heart, it's not the same requirement. I am not a pastor. Okay, there are people that I get a chance to talk to, but don't, you can pull up 1 Timothy 3 all you want. I'm not in that position. I have somebody that I respond to as a pastor, somebody who's been on this show numerous times. But I do my best to pull things out as I see fit, because that was the mission God gave me. So there are times where I'm doing this, and I have talked about masturbation. Oh, yeah, no, there's biblical responses to that. Sexuality, eschatology, you know, taking a life, the idea of mercy killings, the idea of abortion, the idea of everything that you can name under the sun, from somebody who's been through quite a few things and then has been through a continuing process of redemption. So you're getting it from somebody who's gone through and is not just making stuff up and throwing it against the wall or trying to look good for any particular denomination. All the denominations love me and hate me at the same time. It's great. Then I just pull out my Jewish card. I just say, well, that's because you're Gentiles. And then I move on, and it's a joke, folks. Relax. But the point I'm going to make is I'm about to say something you're not going to like. I'm not trying to be a jerk. But the title of this is God Did This. Exodus chapter 9, verses, basically we'll go verse 9 through 12. They will spread out the, let's just do the whole session. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take a few handfuls of ash from a furnace. Moses is to throw them into the air in front of the king. They will spread out like fine dust all over the land, and everywhere they will produce boils that will become open sores on the people and the animals. So they got some ashes, stood before the king. Moses threw them into the air. They produced the boils that became open sores on the people and the animals. The magicians were not able to appear before Moses because they were covered with boils like the other Egyptians. But the Lord made the king stubborn, just as the Lord had said, and the king would not listen to Moses or Aaron. Here's what I want you to get. God did that. God made Pharaoh stubborn. You can talk to me until you're blue in the face about free will, but it was God who made this man stubborn. And he would not yield. And you might not like it, and nobody cares. Because God is in charge of what he does. And he's not asking anybody's permission. There's this fallacy where, and I've actually had people say, you know, when we all get before the Lord, we've got some things to say. You don't have anything to say. Well, I don't think it's fair. Too bad. You're not God. You didn't create the universe. Well, that just really makes me feel what? Small and insignificant? Welcome to the club, human. I mean, it's like, come on. It's that kind of thing. And you think, well, that's really mean, Dave. Well, is it? Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman. Now get her for me as my wife." His father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all your people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She's the right one for me." Verse 4, his parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. You were not supposed to marry a Philistine woman. And Samson's like, "Get that one for me." And they're like, "Oh, get that. I'm not getting that girl for you. You're supposed to marry amongst your own." But the scripture says God was seeking an occasion to knock down the Philistines, and he was going to use this one to do it. You think, well, that doesn't make sense. Hey, God did that. God did that, and that's all there is to it. There's nothing else. How about this in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 24? This is what the Lord says: "Do not go up and fight against your brothers, the Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing." So they obeyed the word of the Lord and went home again as the Lord had ordered. This was when there was the confrontation between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and the whole concept of the split in the kingdom. And guess what God said? "I split the kingdom. I did it. I made that guy stubborn. I had that guy have this desire for that Philistine woman. I split this kingdom up." There's a notion where every one of these things is, oh, this is a bad decision, it's a bad idea, so it has to be inappropriate in nature, it has to come from somewhere else. No, sometimes God does it. You think, well, God won't do something that's unrighteous. Well, what you and I consider unrighteous don't count. It's not our standard of righteousness. It's what God wants to do. You can't tell me that you are a free will advocate and understand and tell me that Pharaoh used free will. I would argue till I die when there's Saul and he's on a donkey and God knocks him off his keister and he's lying on the ground and he goes, "I got a message for you. You're blind. You're going to the city. I'm going to tell you. You're going to do what I tell you to do." I don't see free will. Is there free will in process? Many times I believe that there is free will in process, but God will make an exception to anything he wants and won't ask anybody's permission. And people are like, no, it can't be that way. Well, you tell it to Enoch, who never died. Well, that's why he's got to be in the book of Revelation as he comes back. Enoch was never a proclaimer. He's not coming back in the end of Revelation. God said, "Yeah, that's enough of this." Well, God can't do that. Yes, he can. That's the most amazing part. He is still God. And because you and I don't understand, that doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm pretty much saying that to recognize there is an issue there when man steps in and says, "You shall do this, God, and nothing else." It's like, okay, you can't. It's not up to us to make every decision like that. How about Genesis 24? "Now, if you're going to go show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. If not, I will go elsewhere." Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We have no choice in the matter." Sometimes God doesn't care what the choice is. He makes it for us. And you know it's true. It's applicable to our lives. The only reason I bring that up is simply this. He knows what he's doing. Because he sought an occasion against the Philistines, because he made Pharaoh, stubborn, because he wanted to teach Nebuchadnezzar about humility, because he wanted to make sure the Israelites knew the split was from him, and because he had mentioned to Laban, "Hey, this is my call, not yours," there are times where you just yield and go, "Yes, sir." And stop trying to tell everybody how you got God in your box. He'll do as he pleases. He's God. And his actions don't require our approval. Still got to love me, don't you? That's what it says. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break, then come back with great formula. Don't go anywhere.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hi, this is Sue Freeze of Ecola Termite and Pest Control, but you can call me the Termite Lady.
And I'm Tyson Freeze, Sue's son and manager at Ecola. Mom, I know how much you love providing true value for our customers' homes, and I'm proud to announce that we are now providing tap insulation.
Talk about value. You're right, Tyson. Now Ecola can offer pest control that basically pays for itself with 20 to 30% energy savings. Tap is a recycled paper product that kills pests while reducing energy bills, providing a warmer home in the winter and a cooler home in the summer. Ask about Tap Insulation by calling 877-332-BUGS. That's 877-332-BUGS.
Tap is an absolute no-brainer and a real value for anyone who wants to eliminate insects in their home while lowering utility bills.
That's why you should call Ecola Termite and Pest Control today, 877-332-BUGS, or online at termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
877-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
God loved us first so we can love others.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Kirsten Holmberg. Kirsten writes, "We worked patiently to help our son heal and adjust to his new life with our family. Trauma from his early days in an orphanage was fueling some negative behaviors. While I had enormous compassion for the hardships he experienced in his early days, I felt myself begin to withdraw from him emotionally because of these behaviors. Ashamed, I shared my struggle with his therapist. Her gentle reply hit home. He needs you to go first, to show him he's worthy of love before he'll be able to act like it." Kirsten continues, "John pushes the recipients of his letter to an incredible depth of love, citing God's love as both the source and the reason for loving one another. I admit I often fail to show such love to others, whether strangers, friends, or my own children. Yet John's words spark in me renewed desire and ability to do so. God went first. He sent his son to demonstrate the fullness of his love for each of us. I'm so thankful he doesn't respond as we all are prone to do by withdrawing his heart from us. Though our sinful actions don't invite God's love, he is unwavering in offering it to us. His go first love compels us to love one another in response to and as a reflection of that love." Now you can get Our Daily Bread delivered fresh to your inbox. Sign up for the email devotional when you visit odb.org. That's odb.org. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Bread. Today's encouragement is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, where I am legally obligated to tell you that I took one karate lesson when I was a young boy. I just thought I'd let you know that. I saw that the other day on television. I just thought that was funny. I'm not going to tell you what show, but I thought that was, they were, you know, going round and round and fight. I'm legally obligated to tell you that I took a karate lesson. I just think that's great. Isn't that funny? Okay. If you want to, you're welcome to send an email to us, davidspoon@kprz.com. Probably a good way to go about that. I would support that. Additionally, if you want to go to our Facebook site, The David Spoon Experience, and then on top of that, as though that wasn't enough, on top of that as well, you can go to hisappointment.com and check out the book that, as I get a little older, I'm still really glad that we did it. It's a tough book to write, but I'm glad we did so. Also, please visit KPRZ to participate in Save the Children, as you're going to be hearing about that as we go forward in that, trying to help. And I just cannot believe, I mean, I strongly am in this mindset. I mean, I firmly believe we'll be able to help the 110 kids. I just something we can do this. That's a doable by all of us. Let's get ready for the next DDD, and then later at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a special guest join us.
The hydrogen atom.
always a fun time. Here we go.
But by putting a 4 coefficient in front of HCl on our product side, we not only have increased the number of hydrogen atoms on our product side, but we've increased the number of chlorine atoms on our product side as well. So if we look at our new total, we still have 1 carbon atom on our product side, but we now have 4 hydrogen atoms, and we now have 8 total chlorine atoms. 4.
What? I'm just listening to this going, if this was a college class and you were getting it, you shouldn't be listening to this station.
If we compare the types and numbers of atoms that we have on the reactant side and the product side now, we'll see that we still have 1 carbon atom. On-
All right, that's enough. All right, let's get... This is incredible. The title of this is called Great Formula. What you just heard was not it. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 through 13. I think I was just talking to my brother-in-law. I did tell you he's a rocket scientist, right? I have mentioned that a couple times before. He's getting married in September, so we're going to be going into L.A. to go to the wedding. He's the one that told me that the Earth is in a perfect gravitational 23 point whatever holdature between the moon and the Earth and the sun. And then he said, or it's those two gerbils in those really rattly little cages that go round and round and round. One of those two. Great formula. Here we go. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 through 13. When the Israelites saw the king and his army marching against them, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord for help. They said to Moses, "Weren't there any graves in Egypt? Did you have to bring us out here in a desert to die? Look what you've done by bringing us out of Egypt. Didn't we tell you before we left that this was going to happen? We told you to leave us alone and let us go on being slaves of the Egyptians. It would have been better to be slaves than to die here in the desert." That is 12 verses of wah, wah, wah. Call the wambulance. Wow. Verse 13, Moses answered, "Don't be afraid. Stand your ground and you will see what the Lord will do to save you today. You will never see these Egyptians again." So here is the response that the children of Israel were getting from the powerful movements of God. The Israelites were on their way. Remember, we had just mentioned God did not take the shortest route on purpose, not wanting the children of Israel to be overwhelmed, unprepared for battle, which later on they would become extremely prepared for battle. And as they were going, they came across the Red Sea. They couldn't cross the Red Sea. And what happens? But you know this happened. This doesn't even take a lot to figure it out. That the children of Israel got to the Red Sea and they were like, "Well, we're not going forward this way." And then they turned and looked backwards, and the king of Egypt and all the armies were coming for them. Wow. I believe this was a classic moment. I do always imagine this. Yes, it is not Bible, but I throw this in there because I have a vivid imagination that I would have some sense that they may have heard the army equally as early as they had seen the army. I mean, it's an army. Then, instead of looking to God, which is what we should always do, they turned to Moses, and they gave Moses a piece of their mind. That is just like my mom when I wasn't doing good at school. I got it from the point I got into the house to the point where my dad got home, all the way through dinner, all the way after dinner, all the way through the FBI, which is a show we watched together, all the way through. And I must have heard the word numbskull 9,000 times in a few evenings. I mean, it's just like, come on. These guys went to Moses and they went after him. "Didn't we tell you?" I mean, you can just hear this, right? Sometimes looking back is a bad idea. That's the first thing I'm going to say. There used to be a concept, and in this country there used to be a concept, it's to live free or die. Actually, it's on a license plate right now as one of the state mottos, live free or die. And that's important because people understand that freedom in life is more important than slavery. And here, the children of Israel at this one point were preferring slavery over freedom. Not the best moment they've ever had. But Moses did give them a very quick three-pronged formula that I'm going to give you. First, I'm going to say maybe look back a little less. Sometimes when you look back, it's more terrifying than you may be aware, and it could scare you. So don't look back so much. Besides, you can't do anything about what's behind you. I don't know if you know this or not, but you know how yesterday happened? Well, it doesn't matter because you can't do anything about it. It's out of your realm. Well, this happened yesterday. Okay, but this is today, and yesterday is yesterday, and there's nothing about yesterday that you can do because God did not give you a time machine. But Moses did give them three very great, powerful things to do when you're feeling between a Red Sea and an army, or a rock and a hard place. He said, don't be afraid, stand your ground, and see what the Lord will do. That's it. Oh, we need a deep theological review for this. Okay, don't be afraid. Stand your ground. And then see what the Lord will do. There's your deep theological response. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear get the best of you. Don't let the fear that you, most of the time fear has to do with something that has not yet happened. Don't let the fear seize you. Stand your ground, which means don't run away like a scared little rabbit. And see what the Lord will do. Okay, so it's not a complex element. I'm going to really stand in this. Don't be afraid. Stand your ground. See what God does. Okay, you know that job situation? Don't be afraid. Stand your ground. See what the Lord does. Hey, you know that family situation? Don't be afraid. Stand your ground. See what the Lord does. Hey, you know that situation, the physical situation that you're dealing with? Don't be afraid. Stand your ground. See what the Lord does. Because if the Lord decides, he could crack the Red Sea wide open and have an entire nation walk across it on dry land. And that's more than enough firepower than you need. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now, here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un has conducted another missile test. This one went 40 miles and landed in the Sea of Japan. Kim claims it was a test to see if an ICBM could reach America or anywhere else in the world. He says he can now fire on Alaska, maybe Los Angeles. President Trump has told China's president and North Korea's protector that if China will not act to curtail Kim's nuclear ambitions, the U.S. will go it alone. This is extremely dangerous business. A nuclear-armed North Korea joining with a nuclear Iran will present a clear and present danger not only to America but to the world. Kim must be ousted from power, but how to do it? Would a Navy SEAL team like the one that took out Osama bin Laden be able to replicate its success in North Korea? It's doubtful. And even if they did succeed, would Kim's generals refrain from attacking South Korea, including the 30,000 U.S. troops who are stationed there? This could be the most difficult decision President Trump will make. We had better pray he makes the right one. The world is counting on it. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
For a free copy of today's commentary and other information, visit calthomas.com or send a written request mentioning the date and subject to Values Through Media, Post Office Box 7065, Arlington, Virginia, 22207. Tax-deductible gifts support these commentaries and are appreciated. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-Press, the Christian station.
I wouldn't have to work hard.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. That song especially for our very good friend Marty Schneider, the retirement professor. You can reach Marty 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526, theretirementprofessor.com. That is his website. And I do understand that if you go into his office and you say, I'm coming here because I heard you on the David Spoon Experience, that song automatically plays right away when you step in. It just starts playing right away. And that's how Marty knows, oh, it's another one from Dave. That's a pretty good detector system, Marty.
Hi, David.
How are you? That's a good one, huh, Marty?
That's really good. You know, every time I hear that song, I'm reminded of that scene from Fiddler on the Roof where Reb Tevye is, you know, having a conversation with God, and he looks up and he says, Lord, what would be so terrible if I had maybe a small fortune? And I, you know, it's like, you know, here he is schlepping his cows and trying to, you know, eke out a simple living based on milking cows. And, you know, isn't that the way it is? I mean, that tension is so real for all of us. It's like, you know, yeah, you know, rather than focusing on being blessed with what I have, it's, I just want a little more.
Yeah. No, somebody asked me about that. They were, because the scripture had come up about the cattle on a thousand hills and, you know, kind of a reference point. And I just said, well, I'm not looking for a lot. I just need one male and one female, and I need them off the hill because I can't get to them up there.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk to me about, there's times where I have you on the show and I'm afraid to ask because I know that a lot of this has to do with emotion or, you know, theory or, you know, general insanity, which seems to also reign the day. First of all, is there any financial news that anybody might just go, oh, well, that's good? Is there anything?
Let's see. Well, you know, some people might look at the fact that the Fed is kind of bumping up interest rates a little bit and think, well, that's good because maybe my savings account or my, you know, money market at the bank will go from a half of 1% interest to paying me 1% interest this year as rates go up. So that might be perceived as a piece of good news. By the way, David, the other side of that coin is it also means that the cost of borrowing money is going to be going up.
So, you can't win no matter what.
I didn't mean to be a killjoy like that, but it does work together.
Oh, that's classic. All right, what about the overall economic news? Because I heard that they're spending a lot of money.
You know, so today, bad day in the markets. I mean, all of the major stock market indexes were down pretty good today. The Dow was down, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ composite. The tech stocks, David, the NASDAQ index, which is generally reflective of the new economy, it's called the high-tech index because most of those companies on the NASDAQ are kind of, you know, techie-type companies. It's been kind of getting clobbered for the last week. You know, it had this kind of meteoric rise, and now it's just been what they call sector rotation, where the, you know, everybody thinks, all right, that index is too high. We're going to take the money out of the tech stocks, and we're going to, you know, put it in other places. So the technology sector has been particularly hard hit here in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, look at what's going on. I mean, you look at, you know, Trump's in Germany, and they're protesting, and you got a whole lot of saber rattling now with North Korea. Tension, you know, again in Syria, you know, Putin. I mean, it's sort of, you know, every way you turn your head, there's some potential for a, you know, fairly dramatic global geopolitical type events everywhere right now. And the market, you know, just doesn't like that.
Is there a place, I mean, because you just said it yourself, I mean, is there a place where you put your money and you don't have to have that same level of worry? Because, I mean, really, if you're putting it in a CD or a certain money market, the rate that you're getting back, the return, is pretty tight. It's not like, you know, like you just said, well, it goes from a half a percent to 1%. Well, that's like, okay, so on $1,000, I'm talking about a buck, right?
Like, I mean, it's right. I mean, and you don't even get the toaster anymore. I know it's terrible. It's terrible, David. And, you know, I can remember back, I bet you can too, to, gosh, you know, the Jimmy Carter days when CDs at the bank were paying, you know, 10 and 12 and 14% interest.
You bet. Secured Mortgage Income Fund. I was in that for a while, 16%.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I was killing it. It was great. And then I needed the principal, and that was the end of that.
Yeah. Well, but you know, you look around and you think, well, okay, you know, so as interest rates go up, you know, we'll start to see, you know, bank, what we call the safe money, you know, the bank type yields go up. But people that are getting closer to retirement, David, this is one of their big concerns is, boy, you know, I've been working to accumulate this, you know, IRA or 401k money for 35, 40 years. Boy, the last thing they want to do is, you know, watch it get evaporated like it did in 2008. So having safe places to put those accounts is really important at that age and still generate, you know, a competitive kind of return so that they can earn some interest while they keep their money safe. That becomes really a big part of the conversation at retirement time, for sure. And there are options there.
All right, let me ask you a question, because I know something about you that you didn't tell me that I know about you.
Okay.
But it's you'll like that I know it, so it's one of those good things. So I know that not that long ago, or still in the process there, of you have your own family, your own offspring purchasing a house.
In
a place where buying a house is wow. I mean, it's crazy.
It's stupid. Yeah, it's stupid off the graph dumb. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So is buying a house a good direction for younger couples if they can do it? Or are they better off kind of waiting through? Because, you know, the market in California is crazy. It's not that everybody can or can't, but is that a good strategy?
Yeah, that is a $64,000 question, Dave. You know, here's kind of my take. I mean, look, real estate, like any other, you know, market, will go through ebbs and flows and cycles. I think if the critical variable in making that decision is going to be twofold. One will be, what's your time horizon? So if somebody says, gosh, you know, this is my forever home, I intend to, you know, live in this and, you know, until they carry me out of here someday, then I don't think the timing is a particularly important issue if you're going to be in it for, you know, 25, 30 years kind of thing. But if somebody's saying, well, you know, this is a kind of a short-term play, I might be in this for 2 to 5 years, and, you know, if I can make some equity, maybe I'll, you know, move or do something different or sell the house and move up to a different property. If you're in that kind of a mentality, I think this is a very risky time.
Wow. That's fascinating to hear that, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of smart people that think, you know, we are likely to see some kind of a, you know, bubble burst, not as dramatic as we saw in 2008 necessarily, but what starts to happen, David, is as interest rates do go up, and that is clearly coming, and what happens is the price of mortgages gets more expensive because interest rates get higher on those loans, and so the pool of buyers thins out because not as many people can qualify for these mortgages at those higher interest rates. And so what has been a, you know, supply and demand issue in real estate, where there's been a lot more demand than there's been supply, all of a sudden that turns around when all of us, you know, there's more supply than there is demand because not as many folks are eligible buyers. And when that shifts, that's when I think you'll start to see perhaps some correction in the real estate prices. So timing on that, I don't know. I'm going to guess, I think over the next, you know, 12 to 24 months, that is a likely scenario. I don't think it's going to be a meltdown of the real estate market, but I do think for sure we're going to see the increases slow down significantly and maybe even, you know, some give back in price.
Wow. You and Sam think really alike on that point. I think that's excellent. Here's my caveat question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then, you know, talking to the younger generation, I'm just throwing this out there, but talking to a younger generation who's thinking about that, is that a good time for them to go, well, you know what? I'm going to Idaho and buying a house there.
Yeah, maybe if they can find a job there. you know, yeah. Because, that, you know, it's funny, we kind of chuckle about it, but that's such a big part of the equation is people are going to move to where they can get a job and, you know, make a living. And what you tend to find is the places where real estate is way more affordable, it's way more affordable because there's just not the kind of demand in Idaho that there is in, you know, the Bay Area or San Diego. So, you know, that's the challenge in making all that work. I, you know, David, one of the great benefits of owning real estate to me, and we don't talk about it an awful lot, is that you ultimately get to pay it off. And then you can live without a rent or mortgage payment because, you know, you can ultimately pay off a mortgage debt and you can never pay off a rental expense. It's an expense. It's not a debt. And so, that benefit of being able to say, all right, I got a 30-year mortgage, but I'm going to pay it off in 15 or 18 years by, you know, putting a little more money into each payment. Now, you know, 15, 18 years from now, I can be without a rent or mortgage payment because I've paid off the debt. And with a renter, you just don't have that opportunity because the rent is an expense and it's never going to go away. So I think we oftentimes forget about that particular feature of real estate ownership. And to me, it's underutilized because I think that's the great benefit. You can get debt-free on your real estate.
Yeah, that's an excellent, excellent point. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is, you know, I have my sons going through that process as well. And, mm-hmm. and you just sit there and you think, you know, back in my day when I first got a house, it was so much easier. You would show up and say, hey, I got $1,000, and they'd say, well, which model would you like? You know,
yeah.
It's like, it was pretty easy to do. And now those days are so far gone that it's like, well, if you can get a house and you can sustain yourself and it's a place you want to plant and put roots and have children, like, okay, you know, I mean, there's kind of a different mindset that goes towards it altogether, though I do think that people should go visit a place. I mean, I don't think you should just go buy a house in Idaho. I think you should probably visit. You know?
Yes, spend a winter there and then see how you're doing, right?
Exactly right. I don't mind snow. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
All right, last question, because we talked about this and I took up a little time because I thought some of it was kind of funny. Security. Can mm-hmm. people do enough in retirement planning to gain a little security in a insecure market?
Yes. You know, boy, David, it's such an issue for people, and I think, you know, there's two ways to look at this. I mean, one from a worldly perspective, from a, you know, practical, got to live on this planet until we, you know, enter heaven's gate. To me, the single greatest thing that can be done from a security standpoint is to eliminate debt. You and I have chatted about that in the past, is, you know, the folks that can eliminate debt and get out there to retirement age and not be, you know, strapped with big monthly payments can live on way less and survive on way less, and maybe even Social Security payments, you know, allows you to live a life as long as you're not strapped with a whole lot of, you know, different debt expenses that you're still servicing in retirement. So, you know, that is a timeless kind of feature to me of living that debt-free lifestyle, and I think it's why Scripture's so, kind of cautionary about that issue, kind of always cautioning us not to be enslaved to lenders. And so that's kind of the front burner thing for me for security. And then at the second level, you know, you want to save and you want to accumulate and you hope Social Security is going to be there. But there's only so much that you and I get to control. And one of the things we do get to control is our spending habits and our, you know, debt elimination. So I just want to, you know, encourage people to focus on the things that are within their control and then, you know, prayerfully, you know, consider the things that are not.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense, Marty. And in this world, the advice, you know, from a biblical point of view, from recognitions and from taking right planning, but not freaking out through the process. That's why they got to get to you, Marty. They got to sit down and talk with you and talk to somebody who gets it, knows it, and can walk them through it. Folks, go to Marty's place. You get two opportunities. You get to check out his check register bouncer, which doesn't let you get in without it. And then if you say David Spoon when you walk in his office, then you get to hear If I Were a Rich Man. How could you not have a great time going there? That's like a carnival right there. 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526, theretirementprofessor.com. Check it out. Tell them you heard it on the show. Thank you, sir, for taking your time and hanging out with us again.
David, I sure enjoy being with you. God bless you, brother. We'll catch you next week.
You got it. Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
Build a big tall house. house with the rooms by the dozen.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
For most of us, including myself, it's hard to even look at images of a hungry child who can barely move because that hunger has left them exhausted and lifeless. There's a name for that. It's called severe acute malnutrition. Hi, I'm Susie, your overnight host on K-Praise, and your $60 gift to Save the Children can provide the emergency nutrition needed to bring a child back from the verge of death. And right now, every dollar you give will be matched, turning each dollar into two. Save the Children works in poor areas and cares for the children that you're thinking of right now. But unfortunately, they can't do it without our help. Would you please consider giving the gift of life to a child today? You can give online at kprz.com. That's kprz.com. Or you can call now, 888-884-4836. 888-884-4836. That's 888-884-4836. Or give online at kprz.com.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about how the Southern Poverty Law Center labels their opponents hate groups.
They've got about $350 million. So the only thing impoverished about the Southern Poverty Law Center are their ethics. Nothing to do with their bank account. Most of this money is in offshore accounts. And but here's what they do. I mean, as I said earlier, they get involved in the case in Minnesota was a parents group that was against a policy that the school had adopted regarding promoting homosexuality. And so the parents got together and they negotiated with the school to come up with a reasonable policy that it was anti-bullying, that would not promote homosexuality, but would protect all kids. Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center came in and was pushing this pro-homosexual policy, and when the parents stood up to them, they labeled them a hate group. And that's how they operate.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California, where we take 2 hours and make it into four or one, depending on your point of view. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Let's get into it. It is our Facebook post, so we don't do music on our Facebook post anymore. It's titled Temple Then, Temple Now. Ooh, temple then, temple now. Temple then, temple now. Second Chronicles chapter 3, verses 15 and 17. In front of the temple, he made two pillars, 27 feet high. The capital on top of each was 7.5 feet high. Then he set up the pillars in front of the sanctuary, and one on the right and the other on the left. And he named the one on the right Jachin and the one on the left Boaz. Wow. You're thinking, wow, Dave, 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Who cares? Okay. Except watch this, because there's always something in Scripture if we look and if we listen. If you read just to read, you miss a lot. You want to read to hear. Pillars are for what purpose? Pillars are for the purpose of structural support. Now, we do a lot of pillars nowadays that have to do with, the way that it's designed and the architecture. I understand. But pillars back in the day were used for structural support. So now, understanding that these pillars that were connected to the sanctuary, that were connected to the temple, there were two major pillars, one on the left and one on the right, one named Jachin and the other named Boaz. Wowzer! What does that mean, Dave? Well, here's what it means. It means that the one that was on the left and one that was on the right, each of those pillars had a name. The name on the right, Jachin, and the name on the left, Boaz. Well, Jachin means he will establish. And Boaz means strength is in him. So that sanctuary that had those two pillars, it's the exact same for you as it is for the sanctuary of God, as it is for the temple of God, because there are two pillars that structurally support you. Number one is Jachin, which means he will establish, which means the Lord establishes you. And then the second pillar, which is Boaz, means there is strength in him. So the two pillars you have in your very own life is Jachin and Boaz. He will establish you, and strength is in him. And that is how the Lord builds you. He strengthens you. He will establish you. So when he's talking about Jachin as being one of the pillar on the right, he's saying, I'm going to establish you. I'm there to make it happen. I'm there to help you with your salvation. I'm here to help you with your process. I'm here to help you make it through. And then the pillar on the right, Boaz, where he's saying, and I'm the strength. Your strength is in me, and I'm going to be the one that gets you through. You're going to find that reservoir of power and anointing and ability in me. You got Jachin and you got Boaz, and that's in front of your temple or in front of you, that he will establish you and there your strength is in him. So as the temple was then, so is the temple now. That is pretty cool. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We're going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.